In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe this is our third or fourth study. I put all of them up online, so all of them are online right now on our website. We are looking at a Christian's maturity as a gift from God. Now, when I say that, it's not just our maturity. It's not like when we talked about the 8 blessings of salvation mentioned in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 8, were only 8 blessings. Everything in a Christian's life is a gift from God. Everything. There is nothing in our life that is not a gift from God. Even our trials and tribulations and persecutions, even our jobs we get, our families we get, our home and cars we get, paychecks we get, the church we belong to, everything, our salvation, everything is a gift of God to every believer. And that does not fall short when it comes to our understanding, our biblical understanding of God and the things in God's Word. Is all also a blessing from God. And that's the theme we kind of look through, and we're going to see a lot of this, and it's going to get strong as we go, because I've been studying this and putting it together, and I'm studying every week, putting it together more and more, and we're going to have some dandy points about God. The greatest gift we have as Christians is understanding who God is, how God thinks, and how God does things. And we only know what He reveals to us, do we not? We don't go out and get any other information except what God gives us as children of God. We got on our first point, was verse 6. Says we, Paul said, we speak wisdom among you that are perfect, that is, you that are complete, that you have perfect wisdom. And we got to our second point last week. Oh, I got it right here. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Everything about God is hidden. There's nothing revealed about God except what God wants revealed. No one knows anything about God except what God gives you the understanding of. And all we know about God is what we find in His Word. And all we know about God is what God has revealed to us. But He has revealed a lot to us, hasn't He? Those of us who understand a lot about the sovereign grace understand that God is sovereign. And God is over everything. And God has the power to accomplish everything He ordained, everything He elected in this life. That is even your life. So we got down to toward the third part of this second point, and we're going to go to verse 7. Well, we're still in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7, where he says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God. We talked about the wisdom of God to those that are complete. The more complete we are in the Scriptures, the more understanding we have of who God is. That should be every believer's main focus in their life, is to figure out and find out exactly who God is. And once we start learning about God, you know what we start doing? We start fearing God more and more, do we not? That is the purpose and understanding the sovereignty of God. That the sovereignty that most religions that call themselves Christians deny. Even some people that call themselves Baptists deny the sovereignty of God. Everything understanding God starts with His sovereignty. And that's what this chapter is about. It's about the sovereignty of God and our understanding of it. So it's apparent that God's mysteries were folly to the Corinthians and was proof of their blindness and incapability to see the truth because they didn't understand. Paul said he had to feed them with milk because they were like cardinal. In other words, they were like flesh. There's a lot of Christians today that's like cardinal, like flesh. You can't feed them strong meat of the word. If you do, they're going to deny it. And they're going to hate you for it because they disagree with it. You have to teach. You have to train people. And the only way you can do that is if God reveals it to them. That's why it's such a blessing to us who do understand that God's Spirit has revealed this to us. Think about it. Everything we have, everything we are, everything we understand is a gift from God. That's our blessing. And there's a lot of Christians, and I'm not talking about counterfeit Christians, I'm talking about real Christians, that don't have the blessings you have. They're not members of the Lord's church. They don't even go to church. They don't understand the sovereignty of God because they don't go to church. Or if they go to church, they don't go to a real church. They go to an Armenian church who doesn't teach the truth of God's word. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Lord said, down in the second half of that chapter, the Lord said, He said, all the members and the churches as it pleased Him. So you were blessed to be set in God's house. It's a blessing for you to be here tonight. It's a blessing for all Christians who are church members, all Christians who understand the truths of God's word, to even understand them, or to be a part of the Lord's church. Our church membership will carry over into our time in heaven as the bride of Christ. So in verse 7, we read a while ago, God said He keeps His wisdom hid because everything of God is hid, isn't it? People don't know God. Go to Romans 3. Read Romans 3 around chapter verse 10 down, and you'll see that people don't want to know God. They don't want to understand God. They don't want to accept God. They hate God. They're at enmity with God. Why? Because He's hid. He's hid from them. What's it say over in... Is it 1 Corinthians 4? Maybe it's 2 Corinthians 4. 6. Anyway, he talks about those that are... I believe it's 2 Corinthians. I'm not going to waste my time today. We're looking for it right now. He says that if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them. They're blinded. And they're blinded by Satan. Well, they're actually blinded by sin, aren't they? It is because of Adam's sin in the beginning that blinded every single solitary person. We're born blinded. That's no ability to see. No ability to understand, no ability to hear, because we're born spiritually dead. And the spirit in you is how you understand these things. And if you don't have a living spirit, how can you ever understand it? Listen, I know God talks much about the heart, but He's not talking about this blood pumper. He's talking about your spirit, your inner person. That's who He's talking about. Let me get back where I was. I just turned my pages. I shouldn't have did that. There it is. And we're going to go to Luke chapter 10. Now, this word hidden, it means to conceal from or to keep secret. So the Lord says he is concealing or keeping secret what? Wisdom. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is what we have to make us understand what to do with knowledge. If you don't, you can have knowledge and no wisdom, and the knowledge doesn't do much for you. It is the wisdom of that knowledge that makes you into the person you are as a Christian, as a believer. And the more you have, the more you mature through years. It doesn't come overnight. It takes years and years and years, doesn't it? We've all been there. We're still learning, aren't we? Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, listen, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed right in thy sight. What more just say? Jesus just told us that God has hid these things from who? The wise and prudent. Now, don't sit there and tell me that a man that has a PhD is biblically smarter than a third grader or a man that educated with third grade education. It is not. It doesn't matter what understanding and knowledge you have in the world. There is no world knowledge that you're going to have that's going to make you understand more about the Lord, more about God. It does not take a PhD to understand God's Word. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit and His revelation of it to you. The Lord chose the weaker of this world, did He not? So Jesus said, I thank thee, O Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, listen, and revealed them unto who? Unto babes. Now, he's not talking about babies you're rocking in your arms. He's talking about young children of God, isn't he? Those that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, and so, even so, Father, for so it seemed right in thy sight. So it seemed right to God that he do this. In other words, it was God's choice. It was God's will. It was God's ordained, predestinated, predetermined will before the foundation of the world to reveal himself and reveal knowledge of his word and understanding and give people wisdom as he's going to divide it out at his discretion because it seemed right in his sight. That's all that matters, isn't it? It doesn't matter what somebody down the road, you know, I watch these videos on Facebook a lot about these cops that stop people and they're always telling them, well, I know my rights, I know the laws, when they don't even know what their rights or the laws really are. People's always telling us, well, I know God, and I know how God thinks. I know all about God. God doesn't do those things. Folks, God killed every human being in this world at one time except for 8 souls on a boat. How many were they? I have no idea. Million? Billion? Trillion? I don't know how many they were. We'll never know, will we? It doesn't matter. If it don't matter if it's 5,000, he killed every one of them. Why? Because it seemed right in his sight to do so. Just like before the foundation of the world, God elected us. Why? Because it was good in His sight to do so. We don't have a right to question God. Since when does the clay have right to question the potter? Why did you make me thus? Why did you give him knowledge and not me? Why did you call him a preacher, not me? That's not the way it's done. We thank God for everything we have in our life because God has chosen it for us because it seemed good in His sight. So, we're going to Ephesians 3. So, just as Paul said at the end of his ministry, I am what I am by the grace of God. You say, you sure talk about that a lot because it's important we do. Paul said, hey, you give him grace, you give him grace, you gave me grace. And apparently Paul considered that some of them wasted their grace. He said, because I hadn't wasted it. What's that tell me? It tells me that Paul's thinking was some of the men that God gave grace to wasted it. I can tell you right now, there's a whole lot of people in this world that are Christians that's wasting the grace of God. We can't do that. We're talking about down on Sunday morning. We got another week or two of that. We cannot waste what God has given to us. The knowledge, the understanding, the wisdom, the gifts of our church membership, the gifts of everything else in our life that God has given to us, we always need to consider, God gave it to me. Why did He give this brother more than this brother? Because it seemed good in His sight to do so. Don't question God. Just take what God's given you. It's called being humbled. That's what it's called. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Paul wrote here, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. The word hid here is the same word as we see over in our text scripture. It was hid in God. All the understanding, all the wisdom, all the knowledge, all the gifts that God gives, whatever He's going to make, it's all hid in God. Because God predetermined it. God ordained it to be. And God's going to make sure it is. Whatever He's given to you, and whatever He's given to me, it's because God chose it. It seemed good in His sight. It means He elected it. It's all hid in God, isn't it? You know, the Jews in the Old Testament never dreamed that Gentiles would ever be worth a dime. The Jews back in the Old Testament, they held Gentiles in very low esteem because they were God's chosen nation. I'm worried that some of the elect of God in the New Testament churches are the same way. Folks, let's be careful how we treat people. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Go to Colossians chapter 1, if you will. In verse 26 and 27 of Colossians 1, he says, even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of the mystery of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, it really is strange the way God works, isn't it? I mean, here he is, he elects Israel in the Old Testament to be his chosen nation. Not his chosen people, but his chosen nation. And blesses them throughout the Old Testament. But what the major thing God did not do into the New Testament? He didn't reveal Jesus Christ to them, did he? They hated Jesus Christ. And you know what? All these thousand years later, they still hate Jesus Christ. Now, this is the people that God chose to be his nation and blessed so dearly in the Old Testament, and he still is blessing them. Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing Jews. I would never do that. They're God's chosen nation. But these are the people that God didn't reveal Jesus Christ to. And then we find out, we're going to find out a little later, why God did that. But here, he the mystery which he hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. To who? To his saints. To his children. To those that he have elected and saved to be his children. He's revealed it to us, hasn't he? Thank God. Thank God we weren't as Gentiles as bad as the Jews thought we were. But it's made manifest unto the saints to whom God would make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, another thing we look at is the church. Now, regardless of what people say, there was not churches in the Old Testament. Okay? There were synagogues and temples. They weren't churches. Jesus started the very first church when he called out his people and took them up into the mountain and gathered them together into an assembly and preached to them. That's my thinking, is that's the first church service, because it defines a church in the scriptures. Now, since then, there have been a lot of churches. And what happened? They started with Jews, did they not? Jerusalem was a Jewish church. But the Lord has changed it in time, starting in the New Testament, starting when after he got the church started with the Jews, who was his people, some of them were his people, but his nation to start with. And the Lord got it started, and then it's turned over pretty much to Gentiles now, isn't it? Not all of them. I mean, some of them are Jews. Don't get me wrong. I'm not eliminating Jews here. But for the most part, Jews hate Jesus Christ. And they really don't appreciate God. And they certainly don't like his word because they deny the entire New Testament. They still have their rituals. That's what they go by. But God's made it known unto us, hasn't he? We know Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Just you knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior is the greatest blessing of your life. And God didn't stop there, did he? God taught you about Jesus. He taught you about himself, the Father. He taught you about the Holy Spirit. He taught you about the church. And he used men like Paul to do that, didn't he? The apostle to the church age. Paul was a great man. I don't care what anybody says about Paul. Paul was a great man. God used him mightily. Men dream of God using them anywhere near what he did, Paul. He didn't use anybody in that New Testament like he did Paul, except Jesus Christ. Nobody. All right, let's go to verse 7 for our third point. And I'll get started here, and I've only got about 12 or 13 minutes. I'll get started here, and we'll go from there. So go back to our text in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7. It says, God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, Jesus said over in Luke 10:21, we read that he's revealed this to us, but he hid it from the world because it seemed good in his sight. Here we see God ordained before the world unto our glory. It says, but we seek the wisdom of God and a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, to put it in text, context. So, the wisdom that God has revealed to us and that God has hid from the world, what's the word he uses here? God ordained before the world. God ordained before the world unto our glory. Go to Acts 15. Think about that. Let that sink. Let all this sink in. And I'll guarantee you, when we're done with it, you're going to be. God ordained because it seemed good in his sight before the world, before creation, long before the fall, long before there was a heaven, long before there were angels, long before there were sin, long before there were Satan, long before anything else, on when only God existed. Yep, that far back. You call it eternity past. Now, to God, it's just eternity. There is no eternity past, is there? But to us, it's called eternity past because it was before the world began. And before the world began, God ordained these things unto our glory. So what was ordained before the world? All the works of God. Look at Acts chapter 15, verse 18. Verse 18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Well, let me ask you something. Let me ask you something. Go back to our text. 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2. Let me ask you this question. God ordained it before the world, and then here we see, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Known unto God are all his works from back before the beginning of the world, or before creation. Known unto God are not some of God's works, but known unto God are all of God's works. Because God is omniscient. Omniscient means God has all knowledge. It means that there's nothing God doesn't know. Everything people, humans know, God gave them the knowledge. Lost or saved, it doesn't matter. All the inventions of the world is because of God. We know how to do things. We know how to cure diseases because of God. Now, COVID is because of Satan. But God allowed Satan to put it here, didn't he? But known unto God, I just thought I threw that in. Now go back to our text scripture. Where am I? Okay, forget it. I'm going to skip that because I got 17, the second part, but like verse 17, that should be in our text scripture, but it isn't 17. It says, he doeth all these things. I have to look that up and correct that. It has been done, or it's going to be done, because God had already done it. And God ordained it. Nothing happens God did not ordain. Nothing happened. They crucified Jesus. Why? Because God ordained it, didn't he? You know what? They martyred a whole bunch of God's people and churches. Why? Because God ordained it, didn't he? We suffer tribulations and persecutions because God ordained it. Now, you tell that nut down in Houston, Joel Osteen, that, and he'll roll over and spit at you because he don't believe in the Bible. He's nothing but a little squirrel down there breaking in the cash. But the truth is, God ordained it. Everything in your life, God ordained it. Trust me, God ordained it. The Bible says, known unto God all his works before the world began. And before the world began, God ordained it. Don't ever forget that. Go to Isaiah 45. I'm going to check that out. I don't know what I put there. Might be verse 7. I don't know. I ain't going back to worry about it. Let's go to Isaiah 45, verse 5. And this will be our last scripture. In Isaiah 45, verse 5, the Lord says here, I am the Lord, and there is none else. I'm it. Now, I know a lot of people think they're it, but they're not. But God is. God is it. He says, I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God besides me. None. Satan is not a God. Gods have reigning power. Satan does what God allows him to do. There are no gods. There are no kings. God is king. God is God. God is Lord. God is master. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Before you ever knew him, God had already ordained your life before you was ever saved. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, and that there is none besides me, I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light. I created darkness. I make peace. I create evil. You hear that? Do you hear that? I create peace and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour out. Let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. And let the righteous spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. And let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say unto him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Only ignorance in people, even Christians, even the lost people, question God's power. Question God's authority. Question whatever God chooses to do. Because it's absolutely God's choice what he wants to do. He ordained it before the world was ever created. God did. He ordered it. He appointed it. Whatever it is. That's the reason in Romans 8:28, God can tell us all things work together for the good to them that love God according to his purpose. Because all things do, even if it's bad to us. We don't see everything. God knows everything. He ordained it. We are children of God. We are the church of Jesus Christ. God loves us so much, he sent his son to die on that cross for our sins. Ordained his death. Predestinated it. Caused it. Because without the death of Christ, no one's going to be redeemed. No one. Christ didn't die for just us. He died for Old Testament saints as well as us. The blood of bulls and goats do not cleanse their sins. The blood of Jesus did. When he died on that cross, he took my sins. He took Abraham's sins. He took Moses' sins. He took Noah's sins. He took Seth's sins. He took Isaiah's sins. He took all of them sins. But he did not take Esau's sin, did he? No. Because God hated Esau, didn't he? Why? Because it seemed good in his sight. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up.